Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the channel. June 12th, it's Monday again, 2023, of course, and want to talk about a topic that a lot of people email and message about, post in the Facebook group, basically tracking and keeping track of your overbuying, your inventory, your expenses, your cash flow, how much you have going out, how much you have coming in, how much you're buying in inventory. Also, something a lot of people don't think about, not just the cost of the inventory, but the carrying cost, which means storage unit cost, warehouse cost, the amount of space that it takes up, all that sort of stuff is kind of a hidden cost that a lot of people don't talk about. And I have somebody who's a pretty good expert in this topic with me, actually in person. Bam.
What's going on? I'm in Florida.
Yep. Tim.
I made it.
Tim is here. If you guys are new to the channel or you aren't familiar with the listing service, Pro E-commerce Lister, this is the guy that handles all the back end stuff. He's the other half of it. Tim is from New Hampshire, Salem, New Hampshire.
The warehouse is in Salem, New Hampshire.
Yeah, his warehouse is in Salem. He's been on. Well, go ahead. Tell him about what you do, kind of.
Yeah, so I've been reselling online since I was 14 years old. Started with eBay, moved to Amazon, Etsy. I own and operate 10 independent websites that I had developed. I have a 4,000 square foot warehouse full of inventory. So I have a lot of experience in holding inventory, buying too much inventory, not buying enough inventory, yep. And the lessons that I've learned from all of those.
4,000 square feet is anxiety for me.
It's too much.
I have 750 in the storage units, which he just got to see for
just
the first time.
I just went and saw them, yeah.
Just left there. And I used to have the 3,000 foot building behind Dave's, which I doubt. It was just so overwhelming, especially when you're not like, people like us usually have one employee or two employees or something. If you don't have a team of people, it's so overwhelming to try to handle. So I get this question a lot. How do you know how much inventory to buy? How much is too much? How much money should I spend on it? How much should I spend to store it? This is actually an email that I used to get a ton when I first opened the storage units. People ask me, how did I know? How did I know? And it was like, well, I knew how much inventory I had and how much space it took up, how much of my garage it took up. And then I just kind of built from there. But lately, and I will be fully transparent with everybody, the buying of the inventory right now, especially this past year for you, for me, for my neighbor, Tony, who's also a big Amazon seller, we have all learned a lesson about buying a ton of inventory and the sales not keeping up with it, right?
Yeah.
It's been slow. I don't think anybody that's watching this video is going to be surprised to hear that. It's been slower than, and I don't just mean summer slowdown slow, like normal June, July. It's been bad. Like really bad.
Record lows.
Yeah, record lows. And this isn't to discourage anybody from doing this or discourage anybody from like continuing to put in the work, because it's just going to be worse if you don't do that. But we've learned how to kind of manage that number of like how much inventory we want to have. We've both been liquidating. Everybody's seen what I did, changing out inventory, making the most of the room, all that sort of stuff. So we have a little talking point here. We're going to roll down it and tell you guys a little bit about everything that we thought of and everything that we have to keep track of every day. So the pitfalls of overbuying inventory. How do you strike a balance in not buying too much and not buying too little?
I think you take this two different ways. When you're starting out, like let's say, all right, I'm going to explore a new category. I'm going to start out, how do I know if I'm buying enough, not enough, too much? And I think really the best method I found is buy a small amount. Yes. I would rather undersell than overbuy, because if I undersell, I can always buy more.
Yep.
Can always buy more inventory. There's always inventory available. If I overbuy on my inventory,
and you're stuck,
then I'm stuck with it. Yep. And I can't deploy that cash to try something else. Yep. If I underbuy and it underperforms, I can easily go and find a new product, a different category.
And you don't have a whole building full of stuff just sitting. Yeah. That's what's really great for me when people email me and offer stuff. I think a lot of people forget there is plenty of inventory. You can always find stuff to buy. It's not as easy to always sell stuff. So, because people might see me go buy 400,000 sports cards or 100,000 hockey cards or whatever it is. I have experience in doing that sort of stuff. And I'm like, I'm not just blindly buying it. So I have a lot of people that are like, I'm done selling clothing. I want to start selling video games. Don't go buy a pallet of video games. No. Go to your pawn shops, go to garage sales, estate sales, buy 20, 30, 50, 100 games, and then work from there and see what works. You may find that sports games, they don't sell, but you find a lot of RPG games, they sell. So then you learn that niche. You don't want to end up buying a pallet of sports games and getting screwed with it. So That's really it. Start small and learn. Like, you have no risk when you buy a little bit of amount. You only have a little bit in your inventory, a little bit of cash. If it all sells out, great, go buy more. Like, it's so easy to do, but you don't want to buy a pallet of something and get stuck with it. We do see people that do that. I've had people buy pallets of stuff and then email me like a month later, like they want to liquidate. And I'm like, oof, you bought a lot of bad stuff because you didn't learn. You didn't, like, you know, pre-educate yourself. So there is that. Cash flow management. So this goes along with the inventory, how much cash you have. If you're going to go venture, like you said, into a new category, my thoughts on that are spend the extra money you have. Keep your base, your core money, your core capital, whatever you're working on or whatever you normally sell, and your normal purchasing amounts. Like, if you normally spend $1,000 a month on inventory and you're selling that and turning that over, but you want to try something else, don't go empty your cash flow to try something else, because then you won't have money left to keep doing what you normally do. You want to keep that going and then take the extra profits and try to start with that new category. For me, that's what I do with cash flow. I never take money out of the normal operating stuff ever. It's
no,
always what's on the
you're
side.
Going to reinvest the profits.
Yeah.
You know, don't shut down what's already working.
Nope.
You know, take some of the profits and say, all right, I'm going to take 20% of my profits and I'm going to reinvest this in a new category, a new product for me.
And credit cards. I get asked about credit cards and loans a lot. So a lot of people have a no debt mindset. I don't mind debt if it's being put to work. You have to know if I'm going to borrow, let's just throw a random number. So I'm going to borrow 40 grand and I'm going to pay, say, 10%. I'm going to pay a $4,000 fee over a year. So I know I have to make like $350 a month in profit off of it to cover just the fee. How much money can I make with 40 grand? I have to make sure it is more than worth borrowing the money. There's no problem borrowing money. The biggest companies in the world still borrow money. They've got plenty of cash. But it has to be put to work. If you don't have a plan for it, don't borrow money. Don't use credit cards if you're just going to take a bunch of money and then go, I don't know what to do with it. Because you're going to be paying interest and paying fees on money that you're just going to end up blowing through it anyways. I find that out. People take like a $10,000 credit card and go to Hawaii. I'm like,
no, or HELOC. And
And they just...
I like to, like, when I'm going to try something new or I'm going to, you know, take debt on for the business, how many times am I going to turn this money
turn
over?
Time.
If I'm going to, you know, take $10,000, how quick can I turn that inventory and make $3,000?
Yep.
So then I have $13,000.
Yep.
I can reinvest that all in the meantime, you know, maybe paying the interest or paying the credit card off before it's due.
Yep.
That's key. Pay the credit card off before it's due. Then you don't have to worry about the interest.
So you have to know how much money, what you're paying in a fee, so you know how much you can make to cover it and how quickly you can do it. So you can pay it off either in 1 month or worst case 2 months. So you just pay a little bit of interest. So yeah, that's cash flow management. You guys got to do the math. I know a lot of people here hate math. People that watch my channel watch me because I do the math for them. But you got to do that math. And it's not hard. You just lay it out, figure out the fee, write it down, and then figure out what your normal selling time is, how fast you sell items, how much inventory you're going to add, and how much faster you can sell it. So right now, we just mentioned it, seasonal sales. Mm-hmm. Seasonal sales for that inventory, since we're talking about how quickly you can move it. Statistically, June and July are eBay's worst month. We talk about it, summer slowdown. Why? Why is it slow? Well, people are on vacation.
I'm in Florida.
People are not on their computers doing their normal routines. They're not shopping. They're spending money on vacation, which means they have less disposable income to go on eBay because somebody, you know, they go on a trip to Disney World, they're spending $3,000, $4,000 for a family. Then when they're at Disney World, they're not at their phone, they're not at their computer, they're at the beach, they're places where they're just spending a lot less time on it. So,
but I think you can navigate seasonal sales. Like, all right, we're in summer mode right now. What's selling in the summer?
There
you
is.
Know, if you can get inflatable pools, you know, small inflatable water slides, pool accessories, pool toys,
outdoor
toys.
What
do people do in this season?
Yep.
You know, if you're selling snow blowers, now is not going to be the time to sell it. You know, we're in June. But if you can get a good deal on snow blowers and you maybe have some extra cash to deploy that you're not going to pay any debt on, you could get a great deal probably on winter accessories to sell in the winter, and vice versa. You can get great summer deals in the winter.
Right, yeah.
And just hold that and say, all right, I'm going to sell all this right when summer.
There are quite a few of my viewers, which I talk to on a regular, I can think of two off the top of my head, that are seasonal sellers. That's all they do. Right now, they've got golf clubs. They've got bocce ball is really popular. Mm. Pickleball has blown up.
Pickleball is huge.
Pickleball's blown up.
Near me, there's a gym that's opening. He's opening a 50,000 square foot pickleball facility.
No, they just opened like 6 courts down the street. That was like, we didn't have any. So now they're getting big. Any of those outdoor sports, it's not usually 100 degrees in most places. It is here, but
it's hot.
Tim's dying. New Hampshire to Florida, I don't recommend it.
It's a lot.
Top of the list, don't recommend. it takes a little getting used to, but all these things are big. People are out playing tennis here and pickleball, and golf is gigantic here. Golf clubs, I just did a video with the Goodwill. They had hundreds of golf clubs, were all like $4. There weren't any really good ones for me to grab, but usually there are. There's like Big Bertha $100 golf clubs, $5. Take it. Bam, learn the shipping. But seasonal stuff, prepare for it, know what's good, know what's coming up, and stock up on what you can with extra capital.
And try and make sure you sell out before the season is over if you don't want to hold that inventory.
Right, right.
Because, you know, if you're buying golf clubs and winter's coming and you're, you know,
stuck with
sell
it.
Them before the season's over.
Run sales. To run sales at the end, Hidden cost of overbuying. Unveiling kind of the impact on the cash flow. So that's what he was talking about. You're going to be stuck with inventory. You're going to have cost in that inventory. If you buy $5,000 worth of inventory,
where are you going to put it?
Where are you going to put it? Where are you going to store it? You're going to have that capital that you don't have access to, because who knows when it's going to sell if you get stuck with summer or winter inventory. Who knows if you buy stuff that, you know, like during COVID, it peaked and now you're just slowly selling it off. There's a lot of hidden costs to that. It's not just money necessarily. The money's out. We know that. But your storage, my storage units are almost $1,000 a month. I pay $980 a month for 3 storage units. Your building is probably several thousand dollars.
Almost four, yeah.
$4,000. Big Tony across the lake here, his building is $9,000, is that what he said?
He said last night at dinner was
$9,000 at dinner last night. He has 2, they're connected. He like knocked part of the wall out. But $4,500 and $4,500 is his 2 buildings. That's crazy.
Yeah, so how much inventory do you have to turn every month to pay for that? Do you have employees? Yep. All these hidden costs that you think, oh, great, I'm going to sell $50,000 in inventory. I'm going to make 20%. I'm going to make $10,000. But if it's you're spending $5,000 on a building, you're really only making $5,000. You have to consider that. And you have to plan to buy enough to cover that plus what you needed to make originally.
That is correct. I get asked this question a lot when people are like, I want to quit my job, which he has some experience in quitting a job. How much money do I have to make to cover all that stuff? You need to make enough to pay whatever you're losing, but also to cover all your storage unit costs. Some people have health insurance. All that stuff is all part of it. So always track that. And this is going to go along with it. Number 6 is inventory forecasting, predicting the demand and avoiding the overbuying. So again, with seasonal stuff, you want to predict what's going to sell. But also, I'll give like a great example, Popeye's postcards. This guy sells thousands of postcards. You're just talking about postcards like this, which I have a box of. We've been listing them. They've been selling pretty good, actually. He knows for every 1,000 postcards he has active, he sells like 3 a day or 4 a day or whatever it is.
Yeah, what's your sell-through percent?
What is the sell-through percent? So then you know when you go out and spend money on more inventory, you buy a pallet or a few boxes of something, I'm getting 3,000 items. Once I get them listed, I can expect to sell 10 a day, 15 a day. You'll know exactly how much cash is coming back in, how long it's going to take you to recover the cash. So I always say to people, I buy 1,000 items. Let's say I pay 50 cents a piece. I spend $500 and every one of them is bringing me back, you know, $5. I need to sell 100 of them to get my money back, 10% of the inventory. Well, if I'm selling 1% a day or 0.5% a day, it might be 10 days. It might be 20 days. Could be a month. So then you can kind of estimate and gauge when you'll get that money back. Tim buys a lot more brand new stuff than Amazon. So you can kind of track the Amazon sales history more.
There's a lot of apps for Amazon that you can use that will tell you. There's a lot of charts that'll say, you know, this is selling currently, you know, 50 units a day.
Yep.
Over the last week, you know, the last month, maybe it's the average is 48, but there's a lot of different factors on Amazon because how many different sellers are selling it?
Yep.
How much inventory do those sellers have?
Yep.
Because Amazon's algorithm, you know, if you only send in one unit, you're not going to get the sale compared to the guy who's got 500 units and has inventory evenly distributed.
across all the warehouses.
Because Amazon,
they don't just send
the item that is closest to the buyer.
Correct.
To lower the shipping charges and their shipping transportation.
Yep. So you have to be able to predict. If you're an eBay seller, you got to do it on your own. You've only got your own history to go off of. Amazon sellers have it a little easier. And as far as like getting enough inventory up and getting that percentage, that sell-through rate up, listing it. There's so many people with death piles. In the comment section, tell me how many pieces of inventory approximately, I'm sure some of you don't know, you have in a death pile. Tell me down below, is it 500? Is it 1,000? There's some of you guys, somebody told me in the last video we did a live one, they had 20,000 pieces of inventory. They were the only one close to me because I had like 60,000 pieces at the time. He just saw like 20,000 in one unit that weren't listed. So
a lot.
It's overwhelming. But tell us in the comment section how many you have unlisted, inventory that you haven't touched or processed. And as always, if you want us to help you process it, if you just want to get photos and send to us, Pro e-commerce lister, it's our listing thing. Also, Tim just told me just like a little while ago, it's live on the Android store. We just
went live
on Android. So
we've been live on the iPhone Apple store for about a week.
Yeah,
maybe?
Like Wednesday or Thursday. Yeah.
And now we're live on the Android
store.
Google Play store.
Yep. So you can mobile upload. So basically you take your phone, take photos, or your iPad, whatever, take photos of your inventory, click the app once you're on board with us and as a client, and then just upload your photos, and then you don't have to do anything else. We'll take care of the rest. You still can do it on a computer if you want. We have a website, but also the mobile app is so fast if you do it with your photos. I know a lot of you use Photo Room for whitening. We can do it for you for a little extra. But if you do the Photo Room, batch it out, and then you can upload those. So it's pretty easy. Just email us, proecommercelister@gmail.com. I will put the website directly that you can visit and the email down below if you want us to help with that. Okay, so cash flow versus inventory, we kind of touched on that about how much to put out. Leveraging technology, this is what you just said. So the tools and the app. So there's three things that I focus on with this. One, if you are an Amazon seller or even as an eBay seller, being able to look at the solds, look at the sales history. You can look at eBay solds and say there's 1,000 active and 900 sell a month so that we know, you know, 30 a day sell. You can kind of guess when you're buying inventory how many you can expect to sell per day, per week, per month. And Amazon has apps. eBay doesn't have apps like that, but Amazon does. And I'm sure you've used at least one of them or a few of them.
Yeah,
Keepa's a big one.
You know, Source Mogul. Those all. Yeah.
Tony uses Scout IQ or
just Scout IQ is part of Inventory Lab.
Yeah, part of Inventory Labs. That's what Tony uses, Inventory Labs and Scout IQ. So there's always ways to track. You can do it internally if you have your sales sheet or you do like QuickBooks or some of you use FreshBooks. I've never used FreshBooks, but I guess it's similar to QuickBooks. But to track how many items you're selling per day, how many items you have active, you can see everybody. I mean, you can go, I'm recording my phone, but you can go to the app and see like 3,000 active, 900 sold in the last 90 days. I sell 10 a day. So I sell 10 out of every 3,000. So for every 1,000 I have active, I'm selling 3 a day or 4 a day. So pretty easy to leverage that and check for it. It'll also do with your expenses. You can see eBay has an invoice at the end of the month. How much were the fees? How much was the shipping? How much were the promoted listings? So you can see how much you're spending on all that too.
And I like to, you know, when I'm selling stuff on eBay, I like to concentrate on like what is the lowest price of the item on eBay right now, including shipping, in the same condition that I'm selling.
Yep.
Because, you know, I could look at solds all day, and if an item is selling for $50 on eBay in the solds, you know, but the lowest price right now is 55 or 60, let's say, you know, how am I going to price this item competitively to match current active inventory and solds most recent?
I think a lot of people get stuck on just what's sold and don't realize that sometimes there's items that have somebody put one up for really cheap because they just didn't know. They didn't research it. They were just not paying attention. And they see that it sold for $50. They're like, oh, I got a $50 item. Not realizing that all the rest of them are $75 to $100.
Yeah.
So definitely always check your active competition. The solds is great. It'll give you an idea what it's selling for, what everyone else has got. Check the condition. You may not open it. That person might have had a stain on their shirt. And all the great condition ones are now $100. They only got 50 because there was a little defect or something, right? That happens with remotes, actually, the LCD screen remotes. If they have like marks on them, I might only get $30 or $35. But if it's a perfect one, I'll get like $60 for it. So
condition is a huge factor.
Check conditions when you are checking the sell-through rates. Always, always, always do that. Supply chain disruptions. This is more for people that buy like quantity pallets, maybe import from China. A good friend of mine, he lives back where I used to live, about 30 minutes from here. He sells car parts on Amazon. He imports, I don't want to call them generic, but they're not OEM, but they are. They're like made for that thing. So he'll buy like a Honda Civic 2015 door handle and he'll pay like $10 for it, but it's selling on Amazon for $45, $50. It's not directly from Honda, of course, but it has Honda on it from China. So I don't know if they're authorized or where he gets, I don't talk, he's very secretive, but he has to guess based on how many he sells a week. He's gonna be like, okay, I sell 100 door handles a week. And I ordered 500 door handles. So I have 5 weeks of inventory. So it takes a week to get to me. So in 4 weeks, I have to order more. And so he keeps track of everything he does. When I buy stuff like postcards, I can kind of keep track of like, okay, we have enough for Kate to list for 3 weeks. In 3 weeks, I need another pallet to come in here because she's not going to have anything to list. People have death piles. I know there's a lot of people that say they shop all week long. They list on the weekend. They might have 300 shirts. They can list all 300 shirts over the weekend, and then they know they need to go back out on Monday. So how do you know how much to buy? I think I know this answer.
He
just buys.
Sometimes I just buy. But, you know, for Amazon, I try and keep my inventory very low. You know, I used to be able to buy whatever and it would sell. Amazon's very different now, so I have to really be super conservative. Yep. I'm only buying a few units of something. When I first started doing Amazon, I was doing like I was doing RA.
Retail arbitrage.
And you know, I'd go to Walmart, I'd go to Kmart, I'd go to these stores looking at clearance sections. Yeah, scan the items. Big problem with that is, you know, there's thousands of Walmarts. If an item is on clearance and right now it's a good deal, it just went on clearance yesterday, there's how many thousands of Walmarts that all went on clearance.
Yep.
Everybody's buying that same item. Everybody's sending it into Amazon. Yep. And what I find out is a week later, the price would tank.
Yep, the competition, yeah. So you can track that too, like definitely on Amazon, but eBay a little bit too. You can see there's like 5 sellers of an item, and then all of a sudden, like a week later, there's 25 sellers of an item. Something tanked, something went on clearance.
Yeah.
It happens a lot. I've done it on eBay where I've seen, there used to be these jeans, they're called 7 for All Mankind, and they're called Dojo jeans. The normal 7 fam jeans are like $25 jeans. But Dojo jeans sell for like $80 to $100. Mm. People were getting them. All of a sudden, within a couple weeks, they were like $40 jeans. They had tanked because everyone was listing them. And then people started racing to the bottom, which is a whole other story.
Race to the bottom is...
Once something gets liquidated and people start saturating the market, it's destructive.
It's over.
Yeah, it's destructive. Yeah, so real life lessons. So we don't have any of you guys, but I'm going to ask all of you, if you could put a real life lesson of your inventory... What did you overbuy? What did you buy too much of? What did you not buy enough of that you wish you had bought thousands more of because you killed it? Down in the comment section, leave us a story, a quick little sentence or paragraph about something that you've done. I'll let Tim go first. What do you think is your best purchase or the one that you wish you bought more of versus maybe your worst one? Real life story. I'll tell you what, think about it for a minute. I've got two. I'll give you guys two, and I think everybody knows one of them. Tractor trailer load of clothes from West Virginia. It's 100,000 pieces. Now, this isn't going to be the reason that everybody thinks, because I paid $1,500 for the merchandise. It was a church thrift store. They were closed for COVID. The church was closed, but people still donated. They had no way to open the store to sell it. So the store was loaded down with stuff, and they had an entire store. They had a storage building, like a shed. It wasn't a storage unit. It was on their property. And the truck driver told me it was like 40 feet by 25 feet. It was huge. And it was stacked to the ceiling. So they load this tractor trailer up. Anybody who hasn't seen the video, go check it out on my thing. Get it down here to Florida. I paid more for the shipping. It was like $3,000 after I paid the driver to stay a day to get it shipped here. $4,500, I was all in. I paid some labor help for like 1 month, like $2,500. I bought $2,000 worth of materials, boxes, some other help. Anyways, the long story short, I was $9,500 all in 1 month. We sold $15,000 first month. So I was up. I was profitable first month. Second month, me and Kate did it. We sold like $10,000. So I did $25,000. I liquidated the rest. The total sales on it in 3 months was $32,000. We made good money. We made like $22,000 on it in 2.5-3 months. I'll take that. But it absolutely overwhelmed my entire life. I made... In 3 months, normally I would make like 40 or 50 YouTube videos. I made like 10. Like I had no YouTube videos. It was terrible. And everything else suffered. My associates suffered. My sponsors suffered. They were mad at me because I wasn't making content for them. It overwhelmed me. I wish I had never bought that. Profit or not, I overbought. I bought too much inventory that overwhelmed everything that I could handle. It would have took 10 employees to get that done faster. It was so much work. We had to open bags, sort through. One piece, check for stains, put it into different piles. Redonate or trash the bad stuff. Box up and count the good stuff. Way too much. Never buy so much that overwhelms you unless two things. The deal is beyond amazing. And two, you have storage that doesn't cost you money more than what you would normally cost. Because you'll never make enough sales if you're overwhelmed to pay for extra storage, which is the lesson I'm learning right now. I thought I could buy 60,000 pieces of merchandise, sell enough that like, oh, $1,000 ain't nothing. It's just too hard to keep up with it. So that's kind of my negative. My positive that I wish I had bought way more of, what have I sold the most? Remotes have always been my thing. Like, I don't know. Some love hate with the remotes. I hate working on them, but man, they sell so good. They sell so good. So I wish I had bought more 17 truckload pallets.
Yeah.
So do you.
Yeah, same.
What do you think?
Probably at the beginning of COVID, more toys.
More toys.
I was selling a ton of toys on Amazon. It was killing it. I couldn't keep up.
Kids were at home.
Everyone was at home. Kids were at home. Yep. There was school, no school.
Puzzles sold like maniac.
I didn't have puzzles then, but I wish I did.
There's a few people here that sold crazy. I had one guy send me a picture of his office, and his puzzles were stacked up all in the room. He was selling them like left and right.
Yeah, I wish I had bought more toys.
Retail arbitrage.
I ran out of inventory on Amazon, which is such a rare occasion.
Oof.
And my worst.
I know this one.
I have a few truckloads of toys right now that I can't sell.
A specific one.
Yeah, a very specific toy that I can't sell. I overbought about 3 containers of this toy, and I still have...
How many units?
Well, 30,000
units. 30,000
units. 30,000 units.
Yep. And at the peak of it, you were selling...
No, I was selling a lot.
Hundreds. Hundreds a week.
A day.
A day?
A day.
Wow.
I was selling hundreds a day.
Wow.
I probably have 12,000 units left.
A third.
Yeah, about a third left.
Yikes.
And I'm working on...
Liquidating. At cost.
At cost, yeah. Unfortunately, I've learned a lesson, the carrying cost.
The carrying cost.
I know everything. I didn't take my own advice.
Nope. Practice what we preach.
I've been storing this stuff in Seattle, Washington now for almost a year. Oof. Some of the inventory.
Yikes. That's why, guys, I got asked a lot. Why did I liquidate the storage units? Why did I get rid of all the stuff? It's just overwhelming. And I've never been a person that wants to have like a team. I don't want to have like 10 people sitting there processing. I went and saw a warehouse a year ago, probably, where the tractor trailer came from, the hand sanitizer.
No.
I went and saw a warehouse on the other side of the state. It's a couple hours away. This guy has a 100,000 square foot warehouse with probably 1,000 pallets, 2,000 pallets. I don't even know how many pallets are in this building. He has 12 people. When I was walking through it, there were 12 people working on it. And he said there were a couple people not there, a couple people. At any given time, the warehouse has got 15 to 20 workers processing pallets. And I'm like, I'm just not interested in doing that. Like, that's overwhelming to me.
What do you want to get out of your reselling journey?
Yeah.
Do you want to build it to 100,000 square foot warehouse? Or do you want to build it, to having a few storage units and selling consistent inventory every day? It's all about how big you want to.
Yep. And I'm not saying I'll never go back to the storage units, definitely one, but like what I have working on right now in the house, once I get these storage units taken care of, and big props to one of our clients, Ed, who's probably going to be taking, he asked me to shout him out, taking all of the remaining inventory in the storage units, for those of you that asked. I sold a lot of it individually, but I'm going to sell all of it to him in the next 2 weeks. But I may go back if what I'm working on now with trading cards and postcards and they call it ephemeria, basically, whatever.
Yeah.
If that all works out and I get a good system going and then I decide down the road, like, okay, let's get a 10x10 unit and make stacks like I just told you about Popeyes. That would make sense for me. Like, okay, we're selling $10,000, $15,000 a month in this stuff and I'm just going to get one unit for $300. That I would do to keep it out of the garage because at some point we will probably overwhelm that garage wall again. But right now to pay $1,000 a month is just too much carrying cost, too much stuff. And I'm just done with driving back. I mean, he got to go to the storage unit. You see, drive back and forth.
Yeah, it's not close.
No, it's not. There's nothing close to my neighbor. If we could get a storage facility right there, right out the side road, instead of more apartments, Murata, Metro, could we get...
I can't believe there's not a storage unit.
No storage
unit. It's crazy.
Go all the way out to the main road into town. It sucks. And that's like 6 miles.
And the highway.
Yeah, and the highway. There is a back road to get to it, but it's... It's terrible. In my car, it's no good. So, yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at with my carrying costs, with my storage, with all the overbuying. You just have to be careful. Buy what you can handle. Buy what you can afford.
Yeah.
And buy what you can afford to store, whether it's in your garage. Some of you have sheds, which here it's not good. We need temperature control. My garage is not air conditioned, but it's still cool enough.
It's not bad in there.
It's not bad in there. And the storage unit I have is inside. It's stored. But could you imagine having a tin shed outside with 100 degree?
No, because it'd be 120 in there.
Yeah, and stuff would melt. Clothes would get bad. Even these postcards and sports cards would probably get warped and terrible. I would never do that. But whatever you can afford, depending on where you live. This guy gets snow, so I imagine it's tough out in, like, when it snows.
Yeah, I wouldn't keep anything in the shed.
No. How do you guys drive to, like, storage units if it snows? These are things we don't think about.
You just drive. You just go.
My car wouldn't work, right?
No, I would never buy your car up there.
I'd have to have the truck. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. But, that's why I have a truck.
That's why he has a truck, yeah. But yeah, so that's, for everybody that asks, how do you know how much inventory to buy? How much to spend? How much not to spend? That's some good strategies, some good basic things. If you need more, email us, proecommercelister@gmail.com. We can answer questions for you. We can help you with the listing service. We'd love to help you. We have specials running for everybody right now, 20% off if you're a new customer. If you're an existing customer who's watching this and you want to add to your listing total, just hit us up. We'll work out a deal for you. And we're live on the Android store and iPhone. So 1 week ago, I think Wednesday, was the iPhone store. And we just got the message from the team that this morning that we're live on Android. So you can use your phone, take your photos, upload them to us, and we'll do the rest. And we'll get you a good deal on it. So we're going to go hang out. Tim's only here for a couple days. So
I got the family with me. I got the kids. So
we got to take them to the lagoon, new lagoon. We're going to go check it out. So enjoy it, guys. Hit up our email. We appreciate you watching, as always. We'll probably do a live show tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow. We'll probably do a live show tomorrow. And we're going to start the podcast. I'll put it up there, and I'll put a link to the podcast down below. When this video launches, the podcast link will be up as well. I'll have the audio, and you guys can start watching those episodes. Our goal right now is 4 podcasts a month, so hopefully we stick to that. And until next time, we thank you guys so much.
Thanks, everyone.
We'll see you next time.